We're back on the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Raptors looking to flip the script here against the beloved and fan favorites at times, Sacramento Kings. They're like the beam and the fun vibes around that squad. The bing bong of this year. Rolling into town. The Raptors on a little bit of extra rest. Didn't play since Sunday, as we remember, the back-to-back there in Orlando, which was not good.
To say the least.
OG now announced with a injury. Will be out for at least a week. We got no Otto Porter Jr. and Precious as well.
Just a full-on limp right now. We're not limping in anything. We're just limping.
We are looking for something positive to grasp and to bring into tonight. Let's ask Eric Smith, our Raptors play-by-play announcer, Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Eric, what's going on with this team?
They've been jumping through too many tables, I guess.
You saw the video.
Although Ailish is unscathed and the Raptors are injured. Very, very much scathed right now.
I guess maybe it was a bad analogy on my part. Yes, I saw the video. I was very, very impressed. I was there earlier this year at the stadium, and I did not jump through a table, so you've got one up on me. But that was, listen, I obviously it's a major cliche, but it's a major truth and fact as well. Mm-hmm. Injuries in sports can make or break your season, and I think a lot of teams are going through it in terms of, the Raptors being not the only team in the league that are dealing with injuries, but it just seems like they've been hamstrung more than anybody, no pun intended, with the injuries they've had, with so many guys coming in and out. And, you run down the list and think about it would have been bad enough to have Pascal Siakam gone for, 10 odd games. It would have been bad enough to have Fred VanVleet or Scottie Barnes coming in and out of the lineup. But then when you just list it, now you've had Precious mm-hmm. out for how long and still out for how long? Your marquee, maybe marquee's a little strong. Your big free agent signing the offseason, a guy coming off a championship who's a defender, who's a multi-position guy, who's a three-point shooter and one of the best in the league last year in Otto Porter, you've barely seen him on the floor. Juancho Hernan Gomez, who wasn't playing to start the year and then suddenly played a key role, haven't seen him now for a couple of weeks. It's just, it's been unbelievable to think about what has happened with this team and the amount of injuries, and I think that has impacted not just the record, but impacts the rotation, because who's starting on a night-to-night basis? Who do you have available coming off the bench? Have you built the chemistry going, et cetera? And if you rewind back to training camp, I remember talking to you, and you guys were probably chatting about it on your show as well. What were we talking about with this team? Man, the depth is so good. There's so much depth on this team. There's so many weapons. Think about a guy like even Ken Burch, who was starting for this team more often than that last year. He might be in the third rotation. He might be so deep on the bench that we never even see the guy. And suddenly it took a week, maybe two at best, for this depth to be tested, because they got just hammered and ravaged by so many injuries. And I think they're just at this point now trying to play catch up. If you're looking for some positivity, Ailish, the one thing I would say is, if you look at it right now, as bad as it's been and as rough as it's been, Toronto's still right in the thick of where we kind of thought they'd be, sort of in that 3-9-ish range, where there was not a lot of separation, not a lot of difference. And in spite of their struggles, they're kind of right there. When you look at the loss column even, and that's the key, right? The loss is a matter at some point more than the wins, when you're talking about, all right, at what point can we maybe go on a bit of a run or hope to go on a bit of a run? How far back are we in the loss column, not necessarily the win column? There's only a 2-game difference separating 4 from 9. There's only a 3-game difference really separating 4 from 11, with the Chicago Bulls having 15 losses and the Brooklyn Nets having 12. So there's still a ton of parity and a major logjam with all these teams. It's not like the Raptors are having so many clubs go on a run and they're getting buried. They're still kind of right there in the midst of everything.
Okay, so still hope, and injuries certainly have been a factor, but I think we would be lying to ourselves if we didn't, suggest that there are problems. I think there are short-term considerations. I think there are also long-term considerations. I think in the short term, I think we got to ask ourselves if there's a flawed design here. I mean, league-worst three-point shooting percentage over the last month, really no half-court offense, really relying on being athletic and defensively responsible to generate offense. I mean, it does seem like there's a personnel problem here that might be too much to overcome, at least this season, with what Nick Nurse has at his disposal right now.
Listen, I don't think you're wrong, Justin, in the sense that, the numbers speak for themselves, right? This has been the worst three-point shooting team in the league for a month now. And it's probably naive to say that, well, they'll just eventually figure it out. It'll eventually turn. The only thing I would say that, and speaking to my own naive sense, I suppose, is when I watch this team, there's no doubt that at the moment they have been laboring to get their offense flowing properly in the half court, as you talk about. But when they do move the ball and when they are, getting their shots up, I'm talking from the perimeter, I'm not seeing a lot of forced shots. I'm not seeing a lot of bad shots. I'm seeing a lot of missed shots. So again, I'm acknowledging being naive perhaps a little bit in saying this. If I was watching a team that was just jacking things all the time, taking contested shots, taking bad looks, taking shots that were off balance, forcing the issue all the time, I'd have a major issue with that, clearly. But I don't feel like I'm seeing that a ton. Does it happen sometimes? Sure, yes. But on a regular basis, no. So I'm looking and thinking, all right, are these shots going to start falling for Fred? Because I don't think he's taking bad shots necessarily. Or Gary Trent. Or even OG Anunoby's having a hell of a season. He's shooting 27% or something from three. There's a need for another shooter. But I think there's a need collectively as well to just, and I'm sorry if it sounds beyond simplistic, to play better. You've proven in the past what type of team you are. This team has a reputation for being a dogged defensive team, a team that's going to get into you, a team that has been unselfish, a team that has acknowledged themselves that it doesn't matter who's the go-to guy, who scores on any given night. We're going to be unselfish. We're going to share the ball, et cetera. That's the rep you've built yourself on. Forget about this. We've got 7, 8, 10 guys that are between 6'7" and 6'9", and we've got long wingspans, and we can play. No, forget about that. This team's reputation was built on, I think, the defensive acumen that they have, how versatile they are defensively because of Nick Nurse and because of the style they play and how they'll come after you. And, again, I say their unselfishness and the way they move the ball and share the ball in the offensive end. That's, to me, the rep of what the Raptors are or were, and that's what they need to be again.
Yeah, if the shots start falling, clearly everything's going to improve. They're not going to have the league worst shooting percentage from three if the shots start to go down. And, of course, the half-court offense will improve. But I think all of that will only improve to a point because, as you mentioned, they do rely on what their identity is, which is, you know, we're not a dominant half-court set team. Like, that's just not what the Raptors are. That's not how they chose to build this team. And for that reason, like, we shouldn't expect them to go from last to top five in the snap of the fingers. However, we should expect more, and we probably will see more. The bigger consideration, I think, though, is the long-term one. And I think the big storyline heading into the season was the merging of timelines. Can Scotty catch up to the Fred timeline? Can they bridge the gap between old and young with this team and be greater than the sum of the parts that way? But this year we're seeing, you know, maybe Scotty's a couple years away from being at that, you know, the stepping onto the bridge. And maybe by that time, Freddie's on his way out or not even with this organization anymore. Big picture, have we learned anything about the prospects of bridging the two timelines?
I would say that we have yet to. It's to be determined, I would think, because where do we start with this? The injuries and the issues with the lineup, because of the injuries and the issues with the rotations, I don't know that we've had enough time, because it wouldn't be fair to judge everything on last year and say, oh, look how great it was last year. This team was 23-23 after 46 games, then went 25-11 and went, you know, 48-34 to finish the year, and Scotty Barnes rookie year, and oh, everything was great. And then go, let's just pretend like last year was the real story and this year doesn't exist. Well, that's not fair. This year does exist, but this year has existed with so much inconsistency to the lineup that I don't think we've had the true team together long enough to know, to your point, Justin, is it this bad? Or was last year just a blip? Or is there somewhere in the middle the truth is there? And I hate to be that guy, but a fact is a fact. We're literally sitting right now at the 1/3 mark of the season. We still have 2/3 of the year to go. So if, and I underscore if, this team can finally find some semblance of health and some semblance of consistency, I think if we spoke again at the end of January, the All-Star break, where you still have 2 months left in the season, is that a better time to judge what this team ultimately is short-term? And then again, I say, Justin, to your point, long-term, do you have a better sense? Because I don't think right now on December 14th, with everything the Raptors have gone through, we truly know what they are in terms of making the decision that you're talking about as far as, well, hold on a second. We might have to do this, this, and this because of the future. I don't know if I'm at that point yet. I know if the Raptors are.
So if that's the case with everything you laid out and we're at the one-third point and they've faced some adversity, which is sometimes out of your control, what should be the goal for the rest of this season for the final two-thirds of the Raptors season?
I won't change what I said at the beginning of the year. I mean, the goal, for me at least, going into the year was improvement upon last year. And I know I said flat out, and it's I'm not just BSing now because they're a game below 500 struggling. I said I did not care what the record was. I cared about the postseason. And to me, success is going further than what you did last year. So at least making it to the second round. Like, that's where my bar is set right now. As we speak today, are they a championship contending team? It certainly doesn't look like it based on their record, based on their struggles. But, you know, there's, what, two teams that are kind of really separating themselves in the East, Boston and Milwaukee. I'm still not sure I'm convinced in the West that the Grizzlies or the Pelicans are going to keep up the pace that they're on right now as the top two seeds. I think there's a ton of parity in the East, let alone in the entire league overall. And the Raptors are right in the thick of that, all that still. So again, I don't care if they win 43 or 44, they don't hit last year's 48. I care if, did you make it past the first round? Are you into the second round? Are you continuing to show improvement that way? That's where my bar was set, Ailish, and it still is.
If things truly do go south, the Raptors have to at least consider the future of Fred VanVleet and how they can either kickstart the makings of a retooling or what have you, if they arrive at that point, just because his future is, at this point, uncertain. Some people will see only pros if they're in that position to moving him. Some will only see cons. But I do worry about, hey, where do you leave this core if you trade Freddie for more futures assets and all of a sudden the leader in the room, the adult in the room, someone who we believe will be a coach one day exits this organization? Is Fred's value, I guess I'm asking, beyond what he brings on the court? And is there value just keeping him around even in a retooling scenario just because he's that good of a leader and someone who can help set the culture, which has been one of the strengths for the Raptors over these years?
A lot to unpack there, and it's a fair question. I'll say this, Justin. Let me before I answer your question, let me just go for 1 second. How much different would you or me or A-list or anybody listening right now, how much different would we be thinking about the Raptors or Fred VanVleet specifically if they were even, like, I'm not even going on a major stretch here, if they were two games better than they are right now? If they were 15-12 like the Philadelphia 76ers and sitting in the fifth seed right now, would we be asking these questions?
Probably not, but we're coming off, you know, an eye-opening weekend, we should say. Like,
agreed.
I feel like it's, you know, we're definitely blowing, or we're going the way the wind's blowing a little bit. But when things are laid out, not pretty clearly, but pretty underscored losses there.
Yep.
And the conversation that needs to happen, it's worth having now because, you know, the direction the winds are blowing, it's in a negative direction right now. That can turn at any point, but right now it is skewing negatively.
Well, at least you're acknowledging that. That's at least a good thing. And the reason I bring that up is, again, I'll use your words, the winds blow. Listen, the winds could blow in the next two and a half weeks, and suddenly by the time the new year rolls around, this team's 5 games above, or they could be 9 games below. So I acknowledge it. It's all about how the winds blow. I just think that, you know, if we go back to just 6-7 weeks ago at the beginning of the season, and we're talking about a core that's got, you know, a champions in Fred VanVleet and coming off an all-star year and Pascal Siakam, all NBA, and the rookie of the year and Scottie Barnes, and Gary Trent was a good acquisition last year, whether he's starting or coming off the bench, and you're excited about what Precious Achiuwa might be as far as, you know, a piece that you picked up last year and who showed some signs, et cetera. There's lots of, you know, excitement or at least buzz about the team, and now 27 games in, we're like, hold on, what does the future look like, and who are we trading, and is this the guy, do we have to get rid of Fred? And like, I guess I'm at the point where it's pump the brakes a little bit, but yeah, the winds can blow either way real quick. I think Fred's value does, to answer your question, extend beyond just on the court. I would also be concerned with, and this is always the tough thing when you talk about whether it be fantasy trades or just fantasy scenarios, you don't know what you're getting back. So I would look at, if he's gone, what do you have in terms of who is running the point and who is your guy taking you into that next generation, that future, that next 5, 7 years, whatever. That would be my biggest concern, because I don't think that person exists currently on the roster. So now you're either going to find that through acquisition or wait to hope to find it via draft or, I guess, free agency. So that would be my big concern. And I don't think that moving Fred necessarily is the magic elixir that suddenly changes the future or the fortunes of the path that Pascal or Scotty or anybody else is on. I don't think I'm at that point yet.
That's good. We need a little level-headed approach, and that's something that you bring because you're a little bit more involved in terms of like calling the play and doing the research, and we kind of go with the flow and the fan base, and I think at times it can be a little bit intense. So you're on the call tonight for the Kings Raptors matchup, the Beam team in town. I mean, I love the vibe around what they've done to kind of spark some fun, you know, some fanfare over there, but you know, on the court here, what are the Raptors facing tonight in a return to home after, we can say, a disappointing weekend?
Yeah, it was a very disappointing weekend. There's no doubt about that. And that's why the winds are blowing, as Justin says this way, no doubt, because I think a lot of people thought right now the Raptors would probably be sitting at, what did I just say, 15-12, because you're going to go down to Orlando and pick up two wins, and you're going to be in the midst of a three-game winning streak following that win over a depleted Los Angeles team last week. And oh, by the way, Sacramento's coming to town on a back-to-back, so we should be able to jump on them. It'll be a four-game winning streak. They are facing a team on a back-to-back that got blown out in Philadelphia last night, but they are facing a team that I think could cause some matchup issues and problems for Toronto. If for no other reason than, you know, down low, DeMontis Sabonis is a guy that I think is a threat on both ends of the floor and certainly a threat down in the post for the Raptors. The quickness of De'Aaron Fox and just the strength overall of this team that I think finally, and I underscore finally, showing signs of life and finally above 500 and finally in a playoff position. I mean, they've been out of the postseason for so long. They've been irrelevant for so long. And it just shows how long it can take sometimes when you're a consistent, regular lottery team, draft team, non-postseason team. It takes forever sometimes to put those pieces together and finally get on track. But right now, they're doing it well. And I think it's a matchup issue for the Raptors. And I think the biggest thing for Toronto is, again, trying to come out with the required energy, especially against a team that is coming off that back-to-back. The first quarter, guys, this year when the Raptors have won the first quarter, they've only lost once. So when they win the first quarter, as much as everybody wants to do the old cliche of basketball, that, oh, it's only the fourth quarter, it's only the last 5 minutes that matter, this team needs a good start. If they get off to a good start, it is such a difference for this team, and they can't play the catch-up game because that's when everything goes off the rails. And if you can jump on a team that might be coming in a little bit dogged and tired, that's going to be the biggest factor, I think, for Toronto tonight.
On Monday night, Ailish and I attended Will Liu and Alex Wong's event. Chris Boucher was a special guest. It was a great evening. And Chris Boucher is pretty personality-driven. He's a pretty funny, mm-hmm. engaging guy, which was nice to see him sort of in a different setting. And one of the interesting things that he said, he was asked about Scotty Barnes and how this season has not exactly been what many expected, maybe what Scotty expected, maybe what the Raptors expected. But what really, really encouraged him about the prospect, the person, and the athlete was that Scotty's still the same dude despite what he's gone through this season. Have you picked up on the same sort of thing with Scotty Barnes, that despite his struggles, he's still keeping a level head and his approach hasn't changed that way?
He absolutely is keeping a level head, even based on the comments that he himself had, Justin, just a few days ago down in Orlando. I don't know if you read Michael Grange's piece, but I'll say this. Before I read Grange's piece, before Scotty himself spoke down in Orlando, this was my take on Scotty, and it hasn't necessarily changed, but strictly looking at the numbers tell you he's having a season that is at least on par, if not actually slightly better than last year, based on his assist totals being up. However, that's just the numbers. The eye test says to me, he doesn't seem to be playing with the same kind of energy or the same kind of enthusiasm, the same kind of fun that he did at times last year. Like, to me, he was a guy that was out there smiling and air punching and dancing and getting into his teammates, and guys even looking at him sometimes like, dude, like, what's just chill out a little bit, you know, because he was so fired up, right? He's like the kid in the candy store. I don't feel like we've seen that as much this year. which made me think, like, okay, is everything all right? Like, and it's none of my business, but is everything okay off the floor? Or is it just a matter of, like, you've kind of calmed down? Or are you frustrated by just yourself and the team and the record and the and just the kind of craziness of the season? Like, again, I'm trying to play the doctor on the radio. I don't know what the issue is, but it seems like he just maybe is not as fired up. But then he comes out and says to Grange and to the reporters down in Orlando, I'm good. I'm fine. I feel great. I'm laughing. I'm giggling. You hear Chris Boucher, as you just referenced, I guess, at the show on the weekend. He's still the same dude. Scotty's still great. So, listen, can we not then trust the player himself and trust his teammates? I guess we have to. So that's maybe where the eye test is lying. And I think it speaks more to, and I don't think you, me, us, I don't think we are wrong, the fans aren't wrong, for maybe it just speaks to, hey, we were hoping for a little bit more. We were hoping that there'd be a higher uptick in the scoring and a bigger impact on the defense. And with certain guys out, hey, if you are the future franchise and a potential superstar, like, hey, nah, come on, take the reins and really go with it. And maybe that's just where we're like, hey, even though the numbers are telling us you're just as good, we wanted more, and that's not bad of us to want more. And I think it's kind of just speaking to, like, we want this team to be more, and hopefully it turns for him and the squad.
Last one here. Chris Boucher was poking fun at the media. Well, we'll share. And we asked about OG, and, you know, he's a tough guy to read, and he got the funny, like, simple quotes, but he said, we got to ask better questions, all of us, because OG's a really fun guy, and he talks a lot, and he's very open, but the media just asks dumb questions. So I just have to share that because it's on us. He said, don't just ask him what he did today or about what he did this summer. Like,
so how do you get OG to open up?
So how do we get OG
to
open up?
If we ever get him on the show, we need to make sure we're not asking bad questions.
Yeah, good luck. So I'll say this about OG. I can give you a couple of different stories about OG Anunoby. The very first time I met OG Anunoby and the very first time I interviewed him was on media day after his draft year and the summer and whatnot, and he came to town. And listen, I'm not exactly saying that this was an earth-shattering question or one that he hasn't been asked at some point, but I still thought it was a decent question and one that would elicit a fairly decent answer. But I talked to him about his brother playing in the National Football League and how that might help him as a pro now in terms of having a family member, a brother that had been a professional athlete. And what did he tell you, or what has he talked to you about in terms of prepping for just life, both on and off the floor, and what life as a professional athlete is going to be and all the things that come at you? And he looked at me and said something to the effect of, we haven't really talked about it. Okay. Like, I'm a guy that, and I tell this all the time when I talk to high school or college students or whatever else, I've never written questions down. I go into an interview knowing what I want to talk about, and I'm that guy that says I listen to the answer and I know that's going to elicit my next question. And I've got questions 3, 4, 5, 10, 12 in my head, but depending what the answer might be, that might take me in a different direction. I will tell you, it's one of the few times in 25 years that I was like, I didn't know where to go, because every answer was real short. So, but I'll also say about OG, he just answers questions. Like, if you ask him a question, he'll give you a literal answer. So unless he's feeling inspired to give you more, he'll just answer it straight up. He's not there to kind of take your carrot and run with it. And don't give him any of those, like, talk about. No, that's not a question. Ask a question, right? Don't say talk about. But OG is also a real good dude, and he's one of those guys that when you walk past him in the arena, he'll be the one like, hey, Eric, how you doing? Hey, how's it going? Like, it's not like he's not an a-hole or anything. He's a nice guy, down to earth. He's funny. He's engaging, but he's not a guy that is necessarily there to knock it out of the park for you every time or to do your job for you, and I guess we can't fault him for that.
Well, we won't be able to ask him much because he's out of the lineup tonight, but looking forward to hearing your call, Eric, tonight. Kings-Raptors matchup on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll chat with you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's Eric Smith, Raptors play-by-play announcer, Sportsnet, and Raptors looking to rebound, as we said. I think he provided some nice, level-headed, confident takes for us. I do agree that we are how the wind blows. That's kind of the nature of the job at times. And it is good to get perspective that isn't as fan orientated at times. Like, I keep my pulse on what Raptors fans feel and think and say. And sometimes that's tough because it jades your opinion at times. But he's calling the games. He's putting the research in. He's talking to the players. He's understanding the vibe around the team. And I feel like you could feel a little bit of a positive energy from Eric.
I just think fans are maybe more into the what if than those who are around it and living it a little bit more closely.
Yes.
So, and the what if is a real scenario here. The what if things don't go well?
For sure.
What if you don't progress? What if you don't meet expectations? I mean, there's got to be something there, or you're not doing your job as a general manager, as a president of basketball operations, like Bobby and Masai. So, yeah, they have to consider the what if because it's their job. Fans consider the what if because, you know, they're fanatics, by the literal term, fanatics of this team and want to see the best for them. But if you're into the day-to-day, we heard it from Boucher, we're hearing it from Eric Smith now, if you're in the day-to-day, maybe it's a little less of a consideration because you're more involved in the intricate details of it. And again, they still have time to recover this, but they got to be looking to the future if they can't recover this.
And nobody likes complacency. You got to be striving for something or giving your fans direction or an understanding of where you want to go as an organization. And sometimes that's what bothers me the most is I don't really see that clearly. So, but as Eric said, you can go on a little winning streak here and we'll be fired up. Come next week, Raptors win a couple games. Things are back on track. You get some bodies back. Scotty's looking like Scotty. Vibes are high. Then
keep that beam
keep that energy
dimmed.
The same way. Yeah.
That beam is dimmed.
Don't
We're
like
going to be fired
beam.
Up tomorrow. We're going to be thinking, singing a different tune. But again, after that weekend in Orlando, it was like, okay, we got to at least
we got to be
open to the possibility of this not going as planned.
France and Morocco at 2 p.m. today. The Raptors at 7:30 against the Beam team. Any of that can come from your Wake and Rake submissions for your anchor pick. We're going to take a break, and then we'll go through those at 590, 590. Send them in. Justin and Ailish on the Fan Morning Show.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, I was the weakest link yesterday, and Bruins did prevail on their home ice, but it took a little
classic
bit.
Bruins fashion, eh?
They took get the, a
they
nice
get,
shootout
They get the two
goal.
Points anyway, but they can't cash tickets for us. Just forever haunting.
A nice end to the game with some nice shootout goals, but they didn't help us with our puck line parlay that we did yesterday. I kind of liked that, though.
Yeah.
Two out of three.
We can do the puck line parlay at all times.
There's only three NHL games in action tonight. Canadiens and Sens, Red Wings and Wild, and Canucks and Flames. So a couple all-Canadian matchups tonight. I don't have anything from those for my Wake and Rake picks. I did ponder the Canucks-Flames game and maybe a little Bo Horvat fire tonight.
Mm.
Just to get a point or, you know, have think multiple points.
Think he'll come out swinging?
I think he might be playing with a little fire under him against Flames, but
perfect Wednesday night hockey slate, though.
It is. It's good.
Four Canadian teams in action.
It is nice.
Love it. But our bets will be reserved for other things.
The Raptors and the Kings in action tonight will be in attendance, confirmed.
Okay.
So
tickets purchased.
The Beam.
Do you have any Kings retrofits?
No, but I do have a purple Raptors jersey, which I'm going to wear because, you know, a little purple action with the Kings. Not that I'm cheering for them, but, you know, I did talk about them a lot on the show, and I did praise the Beam, and I explained the Beam to you and brought you into the Beam team.
I don't know if I'm in the Beam team.
You are on the Beacon team, that's why. Like the Beacon. You thought that it was a legitimate Beam pole that they were putting up, so you're a little bit confused, but it is a Beam of light, and it might be lit tonight. It might not be, because who knows which Raptors team we're going to get tonight.
A win in Toronto equates to light in Sacramento if the Kings do prevail. I kind of get the feeling this might be the Kings' night.
Oh, might be back the Kings' to back, night. Eh?
Is it a back-to-back? Okay, that is a good point.
A back-to-back
to
on the
raise.
Road.
And that might play into maybe something I was leaning towards.
They got
which
smoked
was
by the Sixers.
The first quarter line with the Kings, plus 1.5, minus 105. Probably because it's second half of back-to-back, I won't go that route. maybe I'm going to have to go off this because I don't really feel as comfortable now that I've been reminded that it's a back-to-back.
They got dummied by the Sixers 123-103 last night on the road, coming up to Toronto, but they might have a little extra oomph because of that. The Raptors have had traditionally slow starts as of late with that first quarter, but they did turn that around a little bit.
And OG's kind of the trendsetter. Like, Pascal scores early in games.
OG plays
usually
some
starts
defense.
Out with a house on fire, but then a little adjustment from the opposition kind of box in Pascal a little bit, and that's where teams have success, at least in half court, versus the Raptors. However, this back-to-back is scaring me off a little bit. There's no player props. I was going to look at maybe Sabonis, see if there's anything there. But we don't have that option right now. So I'm going to have to maybe rethink this on the
fly here. It's all good. No
because
worries.
I'm not as comfortable in the Kings plus five or that first quarter line.
So OG's not in the lineup tonight. The Raptors are on a little bit of extra rest, though. An extra day there since they played on Sunday.
Unless Nick Nurse has been running them into the ground after what was a brutal weekend.
It's hard to say which Raptors team we get tonight. So maybe it's a stay away. Maybe it's just a watch.
Sounds like a stay away. Plus 170 on the money line for the Kings, though, is enticing.
Oh, boy. I don't think we can do that.
Okay, let's do the anchors, and I'll try to sift through the information.
I am going to go rogue today, and I will be betting a World Cup bet for my pick. I'm putting myself out there to be the early game.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, we've had not the most success with our World Cup bets, but maybe I can help right the ship. I already know what my team is in the final. I got Argentina waiting for whoever comes through. France, Morocco, Justin's team. We're going to have a showdown in the final. But my Argentinians looked great last afternoon, and I feel like I might just ponder a little World Cup bet. But let's go through our Wake and Rake picks, see if we can add one into our parlay. So Adam in the truck. Good morning. I'll be in Kingston this morning, so I won't hear the Wake and Rake, but I like France and both teams to score at plus 333. Got to believe in Morocco. It's good for at least one. That's Adam in the truck. Hey, guys. Justin is 0-2 on not taking my shot total picks at the World Cup. Perisic hit yesterday at plus 120. I put a nice little same game parlay on that hit for plus 800. I'll have another anchor pick in time for the Wake and Rake today. That's Neil in Newfoundland.
Well, Neil, since I'm in dire straits here, if that pick is indeed on the list here, maybe I'll just take it.
So Neil has now texted in again. That was an early morning. Now he's followed up.
Okay.
World Cup pick, Mbappe under 4.5 shot attempts at minus 163. England held him to just one shot attempt. He played more of a ball distributor while being swarmed every time he touched the ball. This shouldn't change much against a stellar Morocco defense. If France can go up a goal, Mbappe will not be attacking through the middle and just playing on the sides looking to distribute the ball. It's Neil in Newfoundland.
I think there's a lot of sound reasoning behind that. Mbappe was bottled up against England. Morocco's been the best defensive side at the World Cup. Actually, one of my strategies here was thinking, hey, let's just look at every France player and take the under on their shots. Because basically nothing has gotten through to Bono, the Canadian-born Moroccan goaltender, who might win the goaltender or the Golden Glove based on the fact that he hasn't had to do much. No teams are getting shots off. However, the Peter Drury interview from yesterday has scared me off a little bit. He thinks that the end of the line might be here for Morocco, where a lot of injuries, a lot of fatigue, same guys having to put in maximal effort to defend it the way they have. France is the team that if they get one, maybe the floodgates open and this one gets real ugly. However, if you spam bet shots, unders for France, and the game has been played anything like Moroccan games so far at the World Cup, I think you come out on top.
Okay, something to ponder. And I did really like the under in this game. I'm deciding between that and a separate one, but we'll get to that. Good morning. Today I'm going to go with another World Cup anchor pick to take France to win to nil plus 116. This will be the end of the line for Morocco as they have not faced a more complete team in this World Cup like they will when they play France. The Warriors are on the second night of, you know who this pick is from. The Warriors are on the second night of a back-to-back, and although they need a win, they may end up resting key players if history repeats itself. Since there are no player lines up, Juliana says to take the over 233 or 235 and a half. She has a word of advice for those that like the Pacers today. Play the game early, because once the Warriors injury report is posted, the line can move drastically. Right now, the Warriors are favored by 1.5.
Juliana breaking down line
movement.
Honestly,
Juliana,
for us?
We should have her on the show. We should call her in one day.
We might have to have her
as
on.
A guest. So that's Rhonda Markham and Juliana. So a couple from that. I liked France to win to nil as well. I like France to win on the Asian handicap, and I like the under in this game. And I have now discussed these with you off air. Juliana, we have not taken any of her Warriors picks yet, and I'm feeling like we are due.
Should we not take it on the second half of back-to-back with players maybe resting, though?
I know. And I feel like I like her picks more than I do today, you know? Like, I've liked more of them. And I feel bad, but, like, I don't want to just... I can't just pick it because I like Juliana. I got to pick one that we really believe in. Keep it coming, Juliana.
One of the more loyal people. We're going to get to her... Let's promise by the end of the week, Juliana's getting a pick.
Okay, let's keep going here. Morning, guys. My best bet today is Doncic over 2.5 threes. He's done it 8 in a row. Ooh. Another sleeper pick is Matt Zuccarello over 2.5 shots, as he's done it 9 in a row. Roses are red, violets are blue. Please don't let Justin take World Cup or we will lose again. Foo.
Man, a lot of people are wanting this World Cup to end. This is the last chance to make a pick, and you're making it.
Cody and St. Catharines. Okay, so those are two pretty consistent picks, 8 in a row, 9 in a row. We'll have to, I think we could be looking at one of those. Let's move on, though. We got a couple more. Co-anchor pick from coworkers. Okay, I like the community pick here. Cavs and Mavs over 216 points, relatively low point total, and Mavs are a scoring machine. Lou and Jay from St. Catharines.
I feel like the Cavs are an under team. That's, I guess, why it's 216, but... I mean, I could be convinced, but I don't have much to add.
All right. So here's Parlay Poppy. Buckle up here. Parlay Poppy's back with the hottest picks in North America. Dallas Mavericks money line to beat the Cavs, who's on a back-to-back with travel. As much as the travel is from Houston to Dallas, it means they go from crappy hotel to crappy hotel. Luka sat out last game, so he's well-rested. This actually might be a better opportunity to take the over on Luka's points at 30.5, as he always plays his best at home. He said 6 out of the last 6 game. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Also, for yesterday's soccer, Argentina draw means Argentina wins first half and the second half, both teams tie, meaning Argentina is still up overall due to winning the first half. It's essentially two games in one that you're predicting. Yesterday's ticket didn't hit because Argentina scored both halves, winning 2-0 in the first half, then scoring 1-0 in the second half. Okay, yes.
Argentina was the winner. Okay. Parlay the educator.
Yes. By the way, so when a team scores in the first half and then scores in the second half, it means they scored in both halves. Yes, Parlay Poppy. Okay, so some more, like some intrigue from this Cavs-Mavs game, which...
I like that Luka sat and is now playing against a team that played last night.
And he apparently goes off at home, so...
The educator might have something here.
Okay. A couple more here. Good morning. Last night looked so promising early on. I know. I thought the Wake and Rake was on track to hit. Tonight, I like Montreal +1.5 versus Ottawa at -150. These teams usually have pretty close games, so I think it'll be a one-goal game. Corey from Port Hope. I'll tell you what, I can't predict any Montreal versus Ottawa stuff. I looked at Cole Caulfield over shots because he's been pretty good, but then last game he got 0, and I don't know from these teams.
Okay, so we have Neil from Newfoundland. We have your pick for France-Morocco. Do we make it a strictly World Cup semifinal parlay?
Wow.
Because I could send something into the...
Uh-oh, but everybody doesn't want you to, Justin.
Okay.
I'm just saying, no.
What do you want me to do?
Okay, so.
Lock in the first two picks, and then we'll all figure it out.
I'm going to go France -1 on the Asian handicap. We discussed it off air. I like the under, but then you said you had a good point that if France goes up early, they could just pile on the goals. And there's a couple players playing for something.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing with Mbappe is, like, he lost control of the golden boot yesterday. Does he press to score today? Does that mean the shot attempts go up? If he gets room, is he going to take those shots, especially if they're up? Does he just...
But Morocco's so good defensively.
Does he try to hunt for that goal, though? Does he poach it? Like, they can still be good defensively, but Mbappe might still try. Shot blocks are still shot attempts, right? Yes. So I think that's one of the considerations there. Olivier Giroud as well, looking to become the oldest player to ever score 5 goals at a World Cup. He's also in the running for the Golden Boot. So there's incentive from the French players that lead the line to be really active offensively. Again, I mean, you're trying to win in a World Cup semifinal. It's not about getting the shot totals up.
Yes.
But I understand that Morocco is the stalwart defensively, but France might have all the reason in the world to be really going after it, especially if they get up and they're just having fun out there. I do think there might be a shot on the other side. Moroccans, the guy who scores all Morocco's goals, I might butcher the name, but Youssef En-Nassyri, has been the guy who's been delivering all the offense for Morocco. His over shots on target is 0.5 at plus 110. If anyone's going to get a shot on target, it should be him for them. He's dangerous in the box. He's dangerous as a striker. He scored the goal against Portugal that got them ahead. I could go that route, or I could leave it to you guys with the World Cup, and I'll go a different route.
I want you to go wherever your heart desires, Justin.
Okay, I'm going to go with Parlay Bobby. Luka Doncic over points.
Okay, so let me just load this in. Luka Doncic over points.
I love that pick. And I'm worried that this is a complete beatdown for France.
Okay, so...
And if it's a beatdown for France, I mean, I guess the Mbappe thing doesn't fit perfectly there, but I think it puts us in a decent position. And then if you don't trust my picks, like most of the text line here, you can take the under on Luka's ahead.
And I'll try with the World Cup. So we'll see. Maybe we can switch it up. So France minus one is my pick on the Asian handicap. Luka Doncic over 30.5 points. And what are we doing for the...
Mbappe shots under.
So that can't be yours then. Is that yours?
No, it's going to be Neil's.
So then you just pick two.
I'm going to go with Parlay Poppy.
Oh, you're going to tag team so that you don't get in trouble.
No, the educator has educated me. This is my pick. I like it. I love the reasoning. I can go with En-Nassyri.
Buddy,
I don't want to have to say that again because I'm not come close, I don't think, any time. I can go with that. That's my lean.
So we're doing under 3.5 shots or under 2.5 shots for Mbappe?
Neil's got it at 4.5. Is that not an option for us?
I'm seeing it under 2.5 and under 3.5. I could find it elsewhere, but where I'm currently loading
in. I don't think on the fly you're going to come up with it. Let's go 3.5. If it lands on 4, then Neil's still right, we're wrong, whatever.
So under 3.5 is minus 165. I don't know what under 4.5 would be. If it 165 already for 3.5.
165 at 3.5?
Yeah.
Okay, so the numbers dropped then. Okay, let's not go with that.
Okay, Justin.
Okay, Luka put in for...
Luka over 30.5.
For Parlay Poppy.
Yes. France minus one. So you got to make a decision here, buddy.
Both teams to score, no.
In France and Morocco?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to stay away from that.
I am. But listen, if we're going France to win big, it's going to mean that Morocco's in a tough position. Maybe they get a late one and ruin it. That would just be more egg on my face here. But we're trying to predict exactly what's going to happen with this game. And if you think France is going to win on a walk, that means there's a good chance that Morocco doesn't score. I guess the flip side of that is Hugo Lloris has given up a goal, I think, in every game so far for France. Like, everyone's scoring on France, which isn't the greatest thing. Do you want me to pivot?
No, I'm just trying to put it together.
I see the concern in your face.
I'm trying to just put this together. Both teams to score is minus one, not to score is minus 175.
Lock it in.
Okay. You can't parlay that with the Asian handicap, so we're just...
Okay, we're going over Golden State Warriors for Juliana. Parlay Poppy, Juliana, represented in this. You've got the World Cup pick. All the liability is off me. I'm hands off with this one on the last day of World Cup betting.
You mailed it in here.
I've given you multiple picks and you're not being like the things. It's difficult.
It's not working.
It's difficult to put the same game parlay
in. Luka over 30.5 points. France minus one on the Asian handicap and over in the Warriors Pacers game.
Okay. It's a non Justin Cuthbert.
That's fine, Justin.
And we're going to win this one.
And that altogether is plus 615.
I love it.
On our Wake and Rake.
Win one without me, guys.
We found a way to get through it.
Win one without me, guys.
All right, we'll see if the Beam team lights up the Beam tonight. Your Raptors back in action. You can listen to Sportsnet 590 The Fan as well. And it's at 7:30 p.m. Raptors, Kings. We'll be back on a nice baby Friday to set up the Leafs continuing against the Rangers and then a little Thursday night football action. Thanks for listening to Fan Morning Show. See you tomorrow.